This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that eating disorders are not just about food? Do you know that the most common eating order in the United States is binge eating, and that it affects females more than males? In fact, 3.5% of females, only 2% of males. Did you know that binge eating is prevalent in up to 30% of people who are seeking weight loss treatment? Well, that's the topic of today's show. Thank you for joining me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reiberger. And today's show is actually a suggestion from a listener from the United Kingdom. She emailed me and said that she's found herself in this uncontrollable night eating frenzy, and she just can't stop this process. And she was uncertain as to what kind of eating disorder it was, and so she asked me if I would feature it on the show and then share my perspective of the hidden roots behind the problem known as binge eating. So, Jamie, thank you for the suggestion, sweetie. And then also that I hope that you find this information of value, and all of you find this information of value, because emotional eating is different than binge eating. Binge eating is different than bulimia. And then it is also different than anorexia. It's kind of got its category itself. And binge eating up until this year was not really even considered an eating disorder. It's been something that's been treated a great deal, but it isn't something that actually had its own category. And now it does in the actual mental classification of different addictions and disorders. So, again, I hope all of you find this information of value. And then also, Jamie, thanks for the suggestion on for the radio show. I love suggestions. So if any of you have a suggestion about a topic that you would like me to research and to discuss on my radio show, then I just ask you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the tab on the homepage that says radio, and then you will go in, and if you click on radio and then schedule, you'll find a submission form. That you can actually send me what you would like me to cover. Now, in addition to talking about today's topic, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about something that's happening in your life right now, or you want to have a little bit of update on what's happening from this energy craziness that we're all experiencing and everything, then you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers, just dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. I also wanted to let you know that my September reading schedule is now online. So if you've been thinking about having a reading with me, I invite you to go to my website, again, www.ritberger.com. And then again, just click on the reading tab at the top of the homepage, and then on personal reading. On this page, you'll find all the information about the cost and about what to expect from the reading and the topics that we can cover. Really, I listed some of them, but, you know, I never quite know when we get into a reading where your soul is going to take me. So it really has much more depth than I even have on my website. So, and if you're interested then in booking a reading, it's all done online. Just click on the Book Now button, and that will take you to the page that will let you know the cost of it. And then also, if you've been interested but you're really kind of sitting on the fence and you're not exactly sure what the reading is going to entail, or, you know, what people think about it, then you'll notice on that page where it has the cost, and then you'll see reviews that people have actually written in regards to their reading, and perhaps you can find that of value as well. So again, you can book online, www.ritberger.com. Binge eating, very interesting, as I said when I started the show, certainly has nothing to do with food. We're finding that out. We think of anything that has to do with eating primarily being focused on food, but I want you to help you kind of picture what binge eating really is. So picture a person sitting alone in their kitchen, It can be during the day, but most often the binge eating cravings tend to happen, or the psychological impact tends to happen at night. So here's a person sitting alone in their kitchen, uncontrollably eating 2 pints of ice cream, followed by 6 slices of cold pizza, a whole box of cookies, and then a dozen donuts on top of all that. That literally is the visual perception that is used in part of the classification when you're working with someone to find out if what you're really experiencing is a binge eating disorder, also called BED. And part of the reason with BED, it's also been known as the night eating syndrome. And while the symptoms are similar to other eating disorders, and specifically bulimia, binge eating disorder is not bulimia. In binge eating disorder, there is an uncontrollable urge to be able to eat, but it isn't necessarily followed by that purging that happens when we're looking at bulimia. It was really thought for a long time that binge eating was maybe tied to genetic heredity, that inheritance factor. We were tying it from the standpoint of that factor, heredity factor, being tied to depression. When we were looking at the underlying roots of binge eating, we would always talk to the person and find out, did their mother suffer from depression? Was she on antidepressants? And it seemed like, in the case of binge eating, that when we started connecting the dots and looking at that genetic factor, it tended to be more pronounced on the mother's side than it was on the father's side. So those were some of the typical things that we did. And now what we're really learning is that binge eating is really more of a psychological factor rather than it is a physical factor, and that the roots of binge eating are actually tied psychologically to very specific things. One is the lack of self-understanding. A second thing is the inability for self-regulation. And I'm not really talking about willpower. I'm talking about when we get into those deep kind of dark spots within us from the psychological perspective, that we tend to turn to food to be able to soothe. But you heard me say that binge eating really isn't emotional eating. However, to clarify that, the trigger for binge eating does have to do with the emotion and have to do with that self-understanding, self-regulation. Also, we have found that people who tend to have a propensity for binge eating tend to have a very low self-awareness. And then we're also finding now in the research that's coming out, as this disorder becomes much more known as far as the mental categorization of it, is that we know that people who suffer from ADD, attention deficit disorder, and ADHD, attention deficit hyper disorder, also seem to have a higher susceptibility to fall into the binge eating category. Some of the common symptoms that occur with the binge eating itself are that we look at, and again, this is still a moving target as we're looking at it, is that in this, the symptomology is that binge eating consists of eating within 2-hour period of time. That seems to be the timeline that we've used in order to really define and separate it from just plain being hungry to it being part of this binge dynamic. So each binge consists of eating within a two-hour period of time, an amount of food that is definably and definitely larger than most people would eat in a similar period of time under similar circumstances. So what we find is that in the binge eating is that a person seems to have this uncontrollable urge to go in and to just start eating, and there really isn't a mindfulness as far as what they're eating. It's just anything. It's like they open up the refrigerator or the freezer, and anything that is directly in front of their eyes is exactly what they will start to reach for and to eat, and then they will eat and eat and eat and eat, and then they'll reach for something else. So again, it's a much different pattern than if we were just looking at someone who is grazing, for example. There's also a sense of loss of control that you can't stop eating. The interesting thing is with binge eating, is a person will eat well beyond where their body is actually saying to them that they are full, and they just keep eating in an uncontrollable fashion. The third factor is that binge eating occurs on the average at least twice a week for 6 months. So now what we're really doing is that we're really beginning to find that the binge eating itself has a pattern. And what we can do is we can watch someone for that pattern for a six-month period of time in order to be able to classify it as truly binge eating. Now, what does occur with binge eating is we also know that a person that tends to eat within a two-hour period of time and eat an inordinate amount of food and not really reaching for good healthy food but just reaching for anything in front of them, and it happens for a six-month period of time, that they also have a higher propensity for being also overweight, but even more so for a lot of the psychological factors that are tied to bulimia, which is the eating and the purging process itself. One of the other symptoms of binge eating is that you eat very quickly during these binge episodes, and you're not even aware of what's going around you. It's really just focused on the food, putting it in your mouth as quickly as you can, trying to satisfy something inside, and again, not being aware. That's where we look at this poor self-awareness phenomena as we're looking at binge eating. Also, what we find is that it's eating until physically uncomfortable and nauseated due to the amount of food that's actually consumed. So in this particular case, what we're doing is we're really looking at the dynamics of the process where it's almost as if the brain and the body are not talking to each other, and so we're not getting that kind of mediator in between the brain and the body that is saying to us that we're full. We can feel bloated. We can feel very uncomfortable. We can feel like, wow, we have this awareness that occurs that we've overeaten, but we're not aware of how much we've overeaten. Another tendency, a symptom of binge eating disorder, is someone who tends to eat not only very quickly and consuming large amounts of food, but they don't put the fork or the utensil down in between bites. There's just almost a shoveling effect that is going on when they're in that eating process, and it's almost like it's just happening again at this uncontrolled process that they're not even aware of what's going on around them, or what is they're not even aware of what they're actually doing and participating in. Another symptomology is that they're eating large quantities of food when they're bored and depressed. Now, this is that fine line when we started looking at binge eating and starting to look at, do we set up its own classification as an eating disorder? Because one of the things is that we know that binge eating is not actually emotional eating, but we do know that the psychological roots that are associated with binge eating actually are tend to occur when a person is depressed or when a person is bored. So there's some similarities, but again, we had to go in and really from the research look at it from a more finite perspective in order to be able to really classify the differences between emotional, binge, bulimia, anorexia. And each one of those different eating disorders tends to have similar psychological roots, but they tend to build on themselves and to become more uncontrollable as far as the behavior that's associated with it. Also, another symptom is that you have a tendency to eat alone during the normal periods of eating because you're actually feeling self-conscious or you're actually embarrassed about the food that you're eating and the quantity that you're eating. So one of the things, again, going back and kind of differentiating between emotional eating, which is also followed by bouts of guilt, with binge eating, we not only have the bouts of guilt, but then we also have the worry that's associated with it, that we're worried very quickly, and when we become aware of the behavior with binge eating, that we have actually gone in and recognized that we just did this and we didn't have any control, and that we weren't able to stop it, not being aware of it, and that we start to worry that this is something that, how could this possibly be that I'm not having this, you know, ability to be able to stop. And one of the things that we find when we're working with it from a psychological perspective is that one of the things that is a common question for a person to ask when we're working with someone and trying to find out if this is truly emotional eating or an eating disorder, is they ask consistently, or they say consistently, I don't seem to have the willpower to be able to stop the eating process. So what I'm doing is I don't know where the willpower is, and is there something that's physically wrong with me that's causing me to not have that trigger that is telling me, number one, I'm full, and number two is that I need to stop because I've gone well beyond the level of discomfort in the eating process itself. When we go in and we really look at, from a psychological standpoint, and associating emotions with binge eating, what we're really doing is we're finding that there's feelings of guilt. I just mentioned that. Also, the worry that's associated. But we're also finding that there's an inner disgust that the person has with themselves that's followed then with a very a strong sense of anger. They get very angry with themselves that they can't seem to be able to control this, and that they've fallen back into this pattern, and that willpower isn't enough. So when, again, one of the things I do as a medical intuitive is I always look for the emotional components, not necessarily being emotional eating, but the emotional components. And the difference I found in working as a medical intuitive with people is that, yes, binge eating and emotional eating is tied to guilt, but when we're emotionally eating, then we don't go into that worrying cycle that something that we're doing is uncontrollable, that we have lost our sense of self in this process. So again, those are the emotions that are really tied to the binge eating disorder or BED. Binge eating is very similar but distinct from this compulsive overeating. This is another category that, as they were trying to decide how to classify binge eating disorder, compulsive overeating tends to be more tied to that emotional overeating. And in that compulsive overeating tied to emotional desire for food, it tends to be very much driven by situations. And that's one of the things with our situations, maybe distressed or going through a breakup of a relationship or a loss of a job. When we find in those particular situations, what we're going to find is we're going to find emotional eating, and we're going to find this compulsiveness to overeat as if we're using food to self-soothe that emotional void that we have inside or that lack. Binge eating, on the other hand, does not satisfy that emotional need. Rather, what it does is it creates a tremendous avalanche of negative emotions. But interestingly enough, as a medical intuitive, one of those emotions that binge eating disorder does not trigger that compulsive overeating and emotional eating does is the emotion of sadness. While people who have the propensity for binge eating disorder and will engage in that and find themselves caught in this loop of being uncontrollable, they aren't sad about the fact that they're eating that amount of food. They're worried, but they're not sad. So again, it becomes pretty finite as we continue working in trying to figure out this classification of binge eating itself. But again, with binge eating, they don't really have the compulsion to overeat. And the other thing is that we use for differentiating binge eating disorder and emotional eating or compulsive overeating is that the person doesn't spend a lot of time fantasizing about food. In fact, we found and working with them from a psychological standpoint, instead they have very negative feelings about food. In fact, they get to a place where they really don't even want to eat. It's like they're repulsed by food itself and the taste of it, and you know, just sitting down and having to go through the process. So again, there are some differences that we're beginning to understand. Most people with this eating disorder are overweight and obese. However, it's important to note that people who are overweight and obese don't necessarily have the binge eating disorder, because what we find is that people who have a healthy weight also can suffer from bad binge eating disorder because of the fact that it has more psychological roots than it has as far as the physical cravings or the desire to be able to eat. This one of the things that we've also found is this disorder is found in all cultures and ethnicities. A study was actually conducted by Mary Shuttlesworth, a doctoral candidate in psychology from the University of Maryland. And in this study, what she did is she was looking for, again, psychological connections between binge eating and, in her particular case, focusing on cultures and so forth. And what she found is that African-American women with higher levels of ethnic identity were less inclined to develop binge eating disorders, whereas Caucasian women with higher levels of ethnic identity crisis posed a greater risk of developing a binge eating disorder. What she did in her research is she explained that Caucasian ideals really are based on and emphasize this thinness. So what they do is this kind of ethnic ideal that's tied to Caucasian has to do with being very, very thin. And what it has to also do in this ideal is it focuses strictly on appearance. And in the research, what she found with African-American women and how they look at the ethnic beauty, the ideals that they have, is that they actually look beyond the physicalness, the appearance, and what they do is they actually start to look for aspects of self aside from this physical appearance. And what she found is that African-American women accept their different body shapes and sizes very, very easily and very openly and very lovingly, and that what they do is they actually, from an ethnic standpoint in the ideals, they actually see their beauty as encompassing more of personality and style and outlook and attitude toward life. So one of the things that Mary's research suggested is that in order for us to really start looking at the prevention of binge eating disorder, then what we need to do is maybe change the way that we are inundated with the messages and the advertising about being thin and being fixated on the thinness and the foods and the losing weight and so forth, and then focus on, in that prevention, on using advertising or using techniques when you're working with someone with the binge disorder, is to help them build a healthy self-esteem by really shifting that focus from the physical features to the inner beauty that, again, is found with that person's personality. And then also kind of their general zest for life and how their attitudes are, not toward themselves, but just in life in general. So it was a fascinating study that was conducted. And again, what it kept reinforcing in the study itself was the fact that binge is tied to perception, is tied to the psychological roots, and has actually very definable cognitive categories that we can work with someone to be able to recognize, is this just emotional eating? In the particular case with Jamie, in the email itself, she noticed that this binge eating disorder did tend to start after her divorce, and that would certainly put it into category of being emotional eating, because we do that. We're very human. We all engage when we're in times of great stress or emotional distress to turn to food to be able to help us to soothe that kind of emotional void that we have inside. But in her particular case, what she said is that, yes, she thought about that, but it suddenly went to the place where it just happened. It was almost as if she just became driven by something inside that basically just led her to the refrigerator or to the cupboards or anything, and she just literally would pull and just start pulling anything that she could find. She did mention also in the email that she had certain patterns. She seemed to crave more fat, salt, and sugar. So what she found herself also doing, which is part of the binge eating disorder, is that she found herself actually stocking her freezer, refrigerator, and her cupboards with foods that were very heavily laden in fat, that were very, very salty, simple carbohydrates, things that would metabolize very quickly, and lots of sugar. In fact, she mentioned in the email that she also was recognizing as a result of this what she thought was binge eating disorder, and she reached out to me before she actually went and started working with the physician on this, is that she was recognizing that she couldn't even taste sugar, and that she would go through a whole bag of cookies and not even realize that they had sugar in them. So again, thanks, Jamie. I really appreciate you opening yourself up that way, sweetie, so I could share with everybody else this real definition that we've come up with the bad or binge eating disorder. So again, a very brave soul to be able to do this and to allow me to do this on the show. And I do want to, again, thank you. And I'm going to continue to thank you as I continue through the show, you sharing this openness about where you are, what you've been through, and then trying to really understand what you are working with. So when you talk to a physician or you talk to a mental health care provider, then you will have a sense of what you're dealing with. It makes it much easier to be able to participate in the process. So I am going to continue to talk about binge eating disorder when I come back from this quick commercial break, so stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is on binge eating disorder. It's a suggestion from a listener from the United Kingdom. Very, very kind of timely topic for me to be covering on my radio show because of the fact that we just now have this real mental health classification called binge eating disorder, or BED. It's also called nighttime eating disorder, but we've actually classified it as binge eating. And one of the things, the value of the classification is that we're going to be spending more time researching those deep cognitive or psychological roots that are tied to binge eating. So again, thank you very much for offering this suggestion. Again, if you have a suggestion for me, just go to my website, www.reitberger.com, and then click on the radio tab at the top of the homepage, then click on radio show, and you will see that there's a little button there. You just click on it, and then you're able to submit a topic. I love having you do that because I love the research. That's the first thing that I enjoy about it. But it also helps me hone my medical intuitive skills because I don't always deal with the topics that the listeners are asking me to focus on. So it really kind of has me just go in and kind of dust off some of the cobwebs in that medical intuitive aspect of me and really go in and look at it from the psychological standpoint, but also from all of the layers of energy and then going in and mapping it actually in the energy body to be able to really find that binge eating disorder, as we now are classifying it, has very, very predictable patterns of energy that are also tied in the energy field itself. So I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that during this segment of the show. But I do invite you to call me if you have a question for me. You can call me at 877-230-3062. All of the lines are open at the moment. So you can call that number. Also, that number is good for U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers. Remember, just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I also want to let you know that I am very excited about a webinar that I have coming up on August 20th of 2013. It's at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The name of the webinar is Clearing the Past and Creating a New Future. And I have a special guest that's going to be joining me, Susan Weishart. Susan Weishart, let me get that right there, Susan, who is the author of Soul Visioning, a wonderful book on how to be able to really tap into the intuition of the soul and to be able to use the perspective of the soul to be able to shift the perception that you have not only of yourself, but of the events that are happening in your life. And one of the things that Susan, when she was on the show and then also in her book, really focuses on is the fact that our past really is predicting our future. And if we aren't mindful of that and don't work at clearing that past, because at the time we may have created the past or the situations or the habits or the mental patterns associated with where we were, at the time they've served us well, but over the course of time, what they do is they build on themselves and they actually create habits that are really very self-destructive, self-perceptions that are very, very limiting. So again, I'm excited because some of the topics that we are going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about the soul and we're going to be talking about the wisdom of the soul and what can this wisdom really offer us about ourselves that takes us beyond where we are in our self-perception associated with our conditioning and other people's expectations and opinions. What we're going to also be doing is looking at some of the major obstacles that really interfere with our ability to create permanent change. Now, we all have this ability to change kind of on that, what I call that superficial level, meaning that, you know, if we decide we had, for example, something for lunch yesterday and we deemed that we didn't like it, then it's easy for us to change and not eat it again. But when we start getting down into those real deep roots that are tied to the past and the emotions and the fears and the insecurities that are really tied to those past memories, then what we do is we find that those fears and insecurities and other obstacles really prevent us from making permanent change, even if it's our true desire to be able to do that. So Susan and I are going to be talking about that. And then also how to identify, forgive, and reprogram that monkey mind and those messages from the monkey mind that seem to just spin and spin and spin and ruminate and ruminate and repeat and repeat. And it's like, oh my gosh, I just need to get out of this state of mind into something else. So Susan and I are going to be talking about that. And then one of the things that Susan has found as a psychotherapist and then also in all the brilliant work that she does is that, and then combining also what I do as a medical intuitive, one of the things that we seem to have a prevalent perception about, and it's not just in the United States, it's global, is something that both Susan and I call the not good enough syndrome. And that not good enough syndrome, as I'm talking about the topic today, is really what triggers the emotional eating. But it's interesting, in the binge eating, a person doesn't necessarily have that not good enough syndrome. So we're going to be talking about that. And then she has a wonderful process called WHEE, W-H-E-E. And what she's going to do is we're going to actually be putting you through an experience using WE, so you can actually, at the moment, experience it, and then how to use that WE process to replace old patterns and to be able to create new perceptions and new beliefs about yourself. As a webinar, it's available from three different ways. You can come on by phone or use your computer, or also use Skype to be able to join us. It is a 90-minute webinar. The cost of the webinar is $14.95, and one of the nice things is that we actually record the webinar itself. So if you would like to join us for the $14.95, but you literally won't be able to be physically present, then everyone who signs up will get a free download of that 90-minute webinar, Clearing the Past, Creating the New Future, as part of the cost of being able to participate. So if you're really kind of like me and so many other people I've talked to in the readings, that you really want to move beyond that, you know, keep trying, and really create permanent change, then I encourage you to join Susan and I on August 20th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for this webinar that we're going to be presenting. You can find out more information about the webinar just by going to my homepage, www.ritberger.com, and you will notice on the moving slides, the banner that I have on the homepage, just click on the slide that says Clearing the Past, Creating a New Future. It'll take you to an informational descriptive page, and then also you can register right online. So I hope that you will join me again. That's ritberger.com. When I went in and started really doing the research and kind of touching that medical intuitive part of me and asking my my patterns when I'm, or myself as a medical intuitive, when I'm looking for patterns for emotional eating, it's very interesting because when I find the emotional patterns, the energy patterns for emotional eating, I always find that it's the dynamics mainly between that second chakra, that's the human emotion chakra. That's where we carry a lot of the emotions around the judgments that we have. It's where we carry guilt and sadness and sorrow, where we carry resentment, we carry disappointment, we carry despair, dread, we have feelings of helplessness or hopelessness. And what I find in that second chakra is it's really tied to the interactions with other people. But I found in the energetic pattern of emotional eating is that it is primarily a pattern between the fourth and the second chakra. Fourth chakra being your relationship with yourself, how you see yourself, your self-esteem, your ability to accept yourself. And from a very positive note, so I find that fourth chakra is tied to self-esteem, second chakra is tied to self-worth. And the difference between self-esteem and self-worth is that self-worth is what other people give you, and they also have the ability to take away from you. What I find with self-esteem is that's really you. It's all about you. If you feel good about yourself, your health esteem is level of self-esteem is very healthy. If you're feeling bad about yourself, whether it's triggered by other people's perceptions or you're just unhappy with yourself, then I will find that there's a low self-esteem. So when we look at emotional eating from the dynamics of the energy in the body, I always find energy congestion between that, and specifically in that fourth and second chakra. And the person in that emotional eating or that compulsive eating that comes with emotional eating tends to be in a loop. It's a 4-2, 4-2, 4-2, and it just seems to go over and over and over again. As a result, there is more of a propensity to eat more based on situations than I find with binge eating. One of the things I find with the energy pattern of binge eating is it is specifically tied to third chakra, personal power, that part of us where is self-confidence, that has to do with self-awareness, that has to do with self-regulation. The third chakra is what I call the self chakra. And what I find in binge eating disorder, the pattern is that a person feels like they don't have the personal power that's needed for them to be able to express themselves. So then I find the pattern of binge eating is the third chakra, the fifth chakra, and then the sixth chakra. So it has a very definitive pattern. Third, again, personal power. Fifth chakra, not being able to express themselves and how they feel or what they think or express themselves emotionally. And then going into the sixth chakra is trying to shift the perception of your personal power to the point where you get back into that sense of control in your life. That's one of the things that I find in that 3-5-6 dynamics using chakras and energy, and that dynamics of binge eating disorder is that the person has a very difficult time rising above where they are psychologically, and they have a sense of not being in control, not being in control of their body, of their life, of their ability to move forward, their ability to take control. And I find those patterns. And the sixth chakra in the energetics is really the soul's way of saying, go up and look at the situation differently. And when I say situation, not that you're caught in a rock in a hard place or you're going through a divorce, but look at the uncontrollable aspects of your life that don't allow you to really have that sense of willpower to change whatever is triggering the psychological part of what you're experiencing that is out of control. The other thing, when I go in and anatomically look at the sixth chakra, and I'm going to map it then through the physical body, is in the sixth chakra, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with that very unstable, kind of that fragile part of the brain itself. We're looking at the basal ganglia, which is tied to dopamine, which is part of the feel-good neurotransmitter that lets us know that we are in control and everything is fine and that this too will pass. And then what I also find is that I find that we have the thalamus, which is part of the serotonin dynamics, again, another neurotransmitter that has to do with eating, with mood swings. It's part of the thermostat to let us know when we're full or when we're not. So we have that dynamic. So we have the serotonin dopamine that is tied to depression and is tied to a lot of the addictions and addictive behavior that a person experiences. I also find that the pituitary gland in that sixth chakra is an emotional gland, meaning that it responds emotionally to what is occurring in the outer and the inner part of a person's world. And if that person experiences the emotions such as guilt or worry or anger or resentment or sadness, again, sadness being tied more to that emotional eating, then we're going to find in the energetics of the body a higher propensity for eating disorders as well. So again, we look at that pituitary gland, which is the master gland of the entire hormonal system of the body. And when that part of that fragility of the brain becomes stimulated and activated, and we have imbalance in the neurotransmitters, and then that really triggers in the amygdala, which are really what reads fear, or that, and in the case of binge eating, is that fear that it isn't, you aren't able to control it. And then what all of that does is it psychologically builds on the emotional part in the mind, and then every time you find yourself standing in front of the refrigerator grabbing for things, it's like your brain is getting this danger message, I can't stop doing what I'm doing. And as a result, it sets off this chemical avalanche in the body, which then stimulates the adrenals, puts somebody in fight, flight, freeze, changes the dynamics in the physiology of the body to where the body is going into protection. Psychologically, we're in protection because we don't want to eat, but we are eating, and it creates this dynamic, energetic pattern in this 3-5-6 that basically comes in and lets us know, lets me know as a medical intuitive, that what we're dealing with is we're actually dealing with a both a physiological and a psychological and an energetic pattern that's associated with binge eating. So when you look at this and you're looking at binge eating, then if that's something that you think that you have, or that you feel that you have, again, depending on personality, I would encourage you to first go and start working with someone who is well-versed in the mental health care profession. So when we're going to go in and look at creating this kind of preventative process to be able to deal with this disorder, is that we really need to work with someone and to really ask very specific questions. And some of those questions is, do they feel empty inside? Do they feel like they're not being nurtured or that they're not being cared for? Are they in a relationship that feels like there's something that's always missing? And again, what we're doing is in that line of questioning is we're asking someone for the emotional component that leads to emotional eating or compulsive overeating, but then we're going to be able to move into more finite. Does a person have a need to feel like they need to punish themselves because they aren't perfect? Do they have a self-loathing that's taking place, or do they have a self-hatred that's taking place? Or are they angry with themselves? Are they constantly irritated with themselves? Now what we start to do is we start in that kind of line of questioning, we start to differentiate it from emotional eating to actual binge eating. One of the things that I've also found as a medical intuitive working with someone that I encourage someone if they're going to work with a mental health care professional is that if you have this kind of uncontrolled fear of abandonment due to the lack of maybe maternal nurturing as a child from your mother in particular, and this isn't about bashing mothers, it isn't about being, you know, unkind to them in any way, but if you feel like you are lacking that maternal nurturing as a child, then what we do is that then it creates this overwhelming fear of abandonment. And I found as a medical intuitive and then also with my psychological background and then working with psychotherapists in particular is that I find that there's a common denominator between those things and binge eating. And then what I also find is that there's an uncontrollable feeling of helplessness they have a propensity. And again, it tends to be more on the mother's side than the father's side for depression. That depression can be anywhere from, you know, clinical chemical depression where someone just has these bouts of feeling really, really down. They tend to come back out of it. We can be looking at mania. And then also, it is not uncommon for people who experience bipolar disorder to also have a binge eating disorder or an eating disorder itself, because again, it comes back in that bipolar dynamics from the standpoint that it actually goes in and there's that lack of self-regulation or that lack of awareness. Also, people with ADD, ADHD, because of the chemistry dynamics of the brain itself and being so prefrontal, meaning that they're so stimulated by gathering information and not as driven by using that information to make decisions, that it's very easy for the brain to become overstimulated, again, creates the imbalance. And the serotonin and dopamine, that fragile part of the brain, becomes imbalanced. The amygdala kicks into place, and now what we have is we have that fear of abandonment. So when we're going in and we're actually looking at binge eating disorder, and we're going to really look at it from the treatment standpoint, we could certainly go the traditional way, which is to go and work with a physician and then to go and work with a nutritionist to become mindful of the type of foods that we're eating, the type of foods that we reach for if you're in a binge eating episode, and then work with a nutritionist to basically clean the cupboards, clean the freezer, do whatever needs to be in order for you to be able to have that good, healthy food that that is going to be something that you're going to naturally work with. So you can work with a nutritionist. You can work with participating in a weight loss program. You can work with a physician. But one of the things, again, I've certainly found is that the best treatments that, because it is really psychologically or cognitively rooted, is that we look at it from a psychological standpoint, such as mindfulness. Cognitive behavioral therapy is very, very good. Psychotherapy is very good. Working with a psychiatrist has benefits, but a psychiatrist by nature, if there's any signs of there being depression, they're going to put you on an antidepressant. So please know that that's the pattern. It isn't that they're trying to do anything wrong, but if you have this real resistance to being on antidepressants, even though that may be what you'd find that you need to be on, is that you might want to look at working with psychotherapy. There are 7 guidelines that you can actually work with yourself in order to start this healing process. Eat only when you're hungry, even when those binging drives come forward. Ask yourself, am I hungry? Your brain will tell you immediately, give you instant feedback. If you're not hungry, then it will tell you, no, you're not hungry. And then what you do is you go and distract yourself, literally leaving the house, getting out of the room that you're in or whatever it may be, but to only eat when you're hungry. eat sitting down in a very calm manner, eat without distractions such as watching television, listening to radio, and don't eat, read when you eat. Eat only what you want, and then also eat until you're satisfied. Eat when you're in full view of other people, so you will be mindful of what you put in your mouth. You will put the eating utensil down. You will chew. You will enjoy and savor the flavors of the food that you're eating. And then what you will do is it's a self-regulation process if you eat in view of other people. And one of the things is that any time that you're working with emotional eating or you're working with binge, eat with enjoyment, pleasure, and then savor the foods that you eat. That's one of the things we find with binge eating, anorexia, and then also bulimia, is that people aren't even aware of what they're eating. They don't have the ability to be able to taste the food itself. And then I'm going to close with this last one I absolutely love when I found this research. It's something called chocolate therapy, one of my favorites. Well, the suggestion is to carry a chocolate bar with you at all times and eat one and only one square of it after each meal, because what it does is it triggers to the brain in the endorphins that's associated with the chocolate itself. It triggers to the brain that you are through eating, that you're full. But then what it also does is it helps you in that kind of reward process of eating only until you're full, eating good foods. Then you can actually use chocolate, because it has such a strong flavor, to be able to actually satisfy, yet tell the brain at the same time, I'm through. You won't be as inclined to overeat because you're going to be saving place for that chocolate little square that you have. You're going to be enjoying it. You're going to be able to savor it, and you're going to be able to taste it more. And what it will do is you will look forward to it, and you will find that that one little square actually is going to satisfy you. Also, some of the other treatments are meditation. Affirmations are very effective in dealing with binge eating disorder. Of course, we can always go to Louise Hay. So those are some of the things that you can do. Again, thank you so much, Jamie. I really appreciate you bringing this forward, especially since all the things that we know about is new. I want to wish all of you a wonderful week. Thanks for joining me. And if you'd like to listen to this information, just go to my archives on my website, ritberger.com. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to wish you a happy, healthy week, and I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.